Well, we're beginning a new series here, which you can see the title behind me. When you don't know how to share, just bless. And this here is a message that's looking at our blessed paradigm that we utilize as a church. We have some pamphlets on the lobby table there if you're interested in learning more or having a take home. And if we run out, just let somebody know and we'll make sure that we have more printed for you. But how many of you have heard this before? Go into all the world and make disciples. You heard it, right? It seems really simple, right? Like, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's 8 words. And we've probably, if you've grown up in church, you've probably said it multiple times. You've probably run around and been like, I know that God wants us to make disciples. Maybe you've even gone, I want to see new disciples being made in my church. So why is it, if it's such a simple phrase that so many of us know, that it ends up feeling really hard to do? Have you ever been there? Let me know, has this ever happened to you? God lays someone on your heart that you should be sharing a faith story with or an invitation to, and all of a sudden, your anxiety just goes through the roof. You're like, God, just give me a name for who you want me to invite to church this week. And he's like, so-and-so. And you're like, I really didn't think you were going to come through, God. I'm not prepared to invite that person to church. How about we try this again and you just leave the answer blank, all right? God, who do you want? Oh, there it is again. Or you work yourself up. Maybe you're going through the checkout aisle and you're like, Pastor Stevens talked about how on Saturday he always is like, so what are you doing tomorrow for Sunday? And then when the person asks back what you're doing, you're like, oh, I'm going to church. Hey, if you're off, you should come with me. And you open your mouth and you're just like, thanks, have a good day, bye. Have you ever done that? Right? You feel conflicted. Maybe you're not sure how to broach the topic without feeling awkward or, God forbid, pushy. Maybe you're not sure what you should even say. And honestly, I feel you on this, right? Because these are all things that I've done, right? These are all things where I've been like, God, who do you want me to reach out today? And no, not them, God. No, that's going to be awkward. I don't want to do that one. But listen, our fear, our anxiety, or things being hard doesn't give us an excuse to ignore the very command of Jesus to his followers. In fact, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. Now, if you're familiar with the story of how Jesus died, you'll know the cross wasn't just a little pretty pendant we wear around our neck. It was a big, rough-hewn piece of timber that people got nailed to, suspended by, until they either bled to death or suffocated to death. Pick up your cross if you're going to follow me. And then we're like, but I need the comfortable life. I need the easy life, God. We can't ignore the fact that we've been called to make disciples. And friends, if you say to yourself, if you say, I believe in and I follow Jesus, then the fact is that you are called to be a witness. But I also want to recognize today, some of us were like, that's just a thing, but it's somebody else's thing. Like, I don't need to do that. Listen, if you're missing out on being a witness, the call of the witness, you need to understand you're missing out on one of the greatest callings that there is in life. Because so many of us, we want to have significance, right? So many of us, we want to endure beyond the here and now. In fact, some sociologists would say that one of the many reasons why human beings have a drive to procreate and raise children is because it's the closest we can come to living forever. And so, listen, if you want to have an eternal impact, if you want to have even a temporal impact, that means temporary for here and now, all right? If you want to have a temporal impact, then this is a great calling because you are having a massive impact on people's lives today and their eternity tomorrow. I mean, this reaches to the center of who we feel ourselves called to be. We live for ourselves and we're like, this isn't enough. What's missing? And if someone's not following Jesus, we say, well, following Jesus is missing. People are like, oh, that's awesome. But then they look at us and they're like, so why do you still feel like something's missing? Well, it's because if we're not being witnesses, we're not following Jesus the way that we're supposed to. I'm going to let that sink in because there were no amens during that part. There was no, yeah, come on. Okay. Sometimes, maybe, even if we're following Jesus, we feel like maybe there's an empty spot in our hearts because actually we're not fully following Jesus. Because he kind of makes it, like when the last word someone who is God says on earth before they are ascended before people's eyes into heaven is go and make disciples. I don't know about you, but those are probably words that are fairly important in the grand scheme of things, right? But I get it. For so many of us, if we have an image at all in our mind of what it is to tell someone about Jesus, it's grabbing someone by the collar and just being like, do you know where you're going when you die? No, you're going to hell, Buster. But I don't know about you, but like if someone from another faith came up to me and did that to me, I'd be like, I don't want anything to do with those people. You know, like that was very aggressive and over the top. And the Canadian part of me goes, no, thank you. That wasn't very polite. How rude, you know? But I want to share with you that there are other more effective, albeit maybe slower, methods for reaching people with the good news of Jesus. And how we begin, when you don't know how to share, just bless. What is bless? It's an acronym. Begin with prayer, listen, serve, and share. So today, as we focus in on that first one, begin with prayer, I think that we should follow our own, you know, point here and maybe begin with prayer, shall we? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before this group of people in person and online and to unpack what it is that you have to say to us about reaching out into our community, into our families, Lord God, into our places of work in ways that even fly under the radar. And Lord, I just ask that you would bear much fruit in us and through us, through the things that we learn over the course of this series, in Jesus' name, amen. So when we look at the need to begin with prayer, I have 3 points, because every pastor has to have 3 points, or else it's not a sermon, it's just a homily, all right? And so, but all my points are connected, all right? So 3 points. The first one is this. When you care for people, you pray for their good. Isn't that true? Like if you believe in the power of prayer and you care about someone, you're not sitting there like, I don't want to pray for them because good things might happen to them. Or you're not looking at someone being like, God, I just ask that you would help their house to burn down with all their possessions because they're such a jerk. Like that's, you're not doing that to people that you care about. Hopefully you're not doing that to people you don't like either. But you know, that's when you care for people, you pray for their good. And we see this with the Apostle Paul, this amazing missionary who God changed his life and turned him around. And he ended up writing so much of our Bible that we have today. We see in the book of Romans, which is his letter to Rome that we find in the scriptures, he says, dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart, listen, and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. Paul was the Israelite of Israelites. This man was a Jew to his core. He was from the order of the Pharisees, straight A students, as he went through Pharisee school. This man was so dedicated to God's chosen people of Israel, and it broke his heart to see them rejecting Christ. In fact, at one point he actually said, I would allow myself to be condemned for all of eternity if it meant that they would come to know Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm a little too selfish to make a prayer like that or a statement like that. I sit there and I'm like, I really want you to come to know Christ, but if it's between me and you, I'll take me any day, right? Like, isn't that kind of all of our attitude? Like, sorry, doesn't matter how many of you are coming to know Christ. That's my eternity. I'm sticking with it. But this is what Paul says. And what does he do? He has such a heart for the people of Israel. He says, it's the longing of my heart. And what's that word? My prayer to God for the people of Israel to be saved. See, when you care about people, when you look at that friend or that coworker or that person in the grocery aisle who always smiles at you and you smile back and they're really nice, you know, when you're at school and there's that guy or that gal that catches your eye and you're really interested in them, but you don't know where they stand in their faith, listen, you should be praying for them, right? Because you care about them. And we all know that, like, I remember when I was a teen, if there was a girl that had my eye, I'd be sitting there like, God, it wouldn't be so bad. You know? And then finally, he listened to me in about grade 11 when Embry and I met and started dating. So, you know, it was good. It worked. Well, we pray for the people that we care about. But there's another thing we need to know about prayer. The reason why we begin with prayer isn't because we're sitting there like, I need to work up the courage to actually do something and eventually we'll get to the effective stuff. No, prayer is a powerful weapon. That's what the Bible says. See, I think so often we run around and we think to ourselves, I got a problem to solve. I need to go do something about it. I need to do something effective. And sometimes you'll be with that really God-fearing person, and you'll be like, there's a huge issue, and we need to deal with that right now. And they're like, whoa, before we go, let's pray. Some of the impatient people in the room, the problem solvers, are like, I guess that's the right thing to do, sure. And then prayer time comes, and we're like, yes, Lord, mm-hmm, yep. That's right, God. Amen. Amen. Oh, they're still going. Okay. We really got to solve this problem, right? Have you been there? Right? But see, that's the wrong way of thinking. Because prayer isn't the precursor to solving the problem. Prayer is the thing that gives us the tools to solve the problem. It's the thing that says, God, I'm not going to solve this on my own, and I'm not going to take the credit for whatever happens because I need you on my side. And even if your answer is that the problem shouldn't get solved this time around because you have something greater that you're pushing us into, we're giving it to you. Here's what we want, but not what I want, but what you want, Lord. Did you know that there's some pastors, their call in life is to pastor dying congregations into the grave? And we think, why would that's horrible. No, you don't understand. There are churches that God calls individuals into because the church is not effective and it's on its way out and it needs to die so that something new can be reborn. But if that person and if that congregation didn't enter into things in a place of prayer, we all know our first instinct is this thing is going to stick around. Nothing is going to let my church, my people disappear. I can't let a church go away. But have you ever stopped to wonder what would happen if God was like, no, you don't understand. I want that church to go away. But sometimes that's the case. And when we're willing to pray about it, we get on track and we get equipped. And we find ourselves pushed forward into great things. And even as we go, I don't have the strength. Even as we go, God, you don't understand. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I don't know what to say. What if they do this or say that or don't respond in this way? Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Imagine that. We don't use the weapons of this world to go against what we face, but we fall to our knees in prayer. We surrender to win. Have you ever thought of that? As Christians, when we're fighting the biggest spiritual battle out there, we surrender, we fall to our knees in order to win the battle. That's not our normal impulse. We want to fight. We want to go to arms, right? We want to start brawling. And Paul says, no. God's mighty weapons aren't worldly weapons. They're better. They can knock down strongholds. They can cast out demons. They can bring the dead to life. They can heal mental illness. They can do all of these things in Jesus' name. He is greater than whatever holds us down according to his plan when we pray according to the will of God. Nothing can stand in the way. And so as we begin with prayer, we ask for wisdom. God, give me the wisdom to know when, to know why, to know how, to know what to say to that person. We pray for openness. God, be tilling the soil of the heart so that when I speak, they're ready to receive. And we pray that others will also plant, water, and harvest. Because sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had this where you obey Christ and you're like, okay, I'll tell the person. You'll never believe what Jesus did in my life. It was just such an amazing thing. I see that you're going through something similar. I think that he could help you. Do you want to come to church with me? And they're like, no. And you're like, failure. I lost. Do you know how many people who are in church today, not necessarily our church, but all churches, how many people who are in the church today would tell you, yeah, that time that I came to the front and I gave my life to Jesus, that was the culmination of this person who smiled at me and I knew they went to church, this person that gave me an invitation, this person that hugged me when I needed it, this person that shared a faith story, this person that was always one phone call away. It's the culmination. I always knew so-and-so was praying for me. And so sometimes we're like, yeah, God, I did it and it failed. He's like, it didn't fail. But my timing is not your timing. Thirdly, we need to pray for the salvation and well-being, or we need to know that praying for the salvation and well-being of others is a reflection of God's heart. We can say to ourselves, well, why should I? Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be like Jesus. And the heart of Jesus is praying for the salvation and well-being of others. Listen to the words of Paul to his protege, Timothy. He says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. He doesn't say, yeah, and at the end of everything, once you've preached the message, once you've dealt with the naysayers and the troublemakers, pray. He says, no, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. And then he's like, and by the way, the kings and the governments that all hate you and want to throw you in prison and all of that, pray this way for the kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, listen to this, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. God's heart is to give everything so that the world could be saved. And he's calling us to grab a hold of his heart and to join his mission in prayer. If you don't know what to say, just bless. And in the process of blessing, we begin with prayer. But we don't begin with prayer because it's the precursor and it's no good, and so we just get the weak thing out of the way. We begin with prayer because it's what arms us. It's what sets us on the right path. It's what aligns us with the mission and the discipline and the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, who lives within all who say yes to Jesus, so that we can be aligned and work together and go forward and have wisdom, and see things happening in the spiritual realm in people's hearts and lives before we even open our mouths. I've met people who've been getting prayed for years, and all of a sudden they're like, "Can you tell me a little bit about your church?" And you're like, "Yes. Did somebody talk to you?" "No, I just heard some things, and I'm going through some stuff, and I just really want to know what it's all about." And it's like, okay, everyone's been afraid to talk to you. You were like the last person on the list of people that people were willing to talk to. They're like, "He's going to murder me or something." Now you're here, and you're like, "Can you tell me about this Jesus?" Prayer works. Prayer works. I want you to think for a second. Think of that person that you've wanted to talk to, or that person that's on your heart. And I want you to consider, when's the last time that you prayed for them? And I know some of us, we pray for them daily, right? And in that case, what I would say is that you got the prayer covered, and then we're going to move into the other stuff, right? Because one thing that can happen. We got to begin with prayer, but if we just stay on our knees and we never actually get up and do the things that God is calling us to do, that's also disobedience. That's also ineffective, right? But we start with prayer. And so I want you to think of that person that's been on your heart. If no one's on your heart, then, well, actually, this is what I want you to do this week, is ask God's Spirit to give you the name of one person to begin praying for salvation for, and for the wisdom and courage to get to help them there. Listen, we can come to church on Sunday and we can listen to a message, and we can go right on pastor, or, "Oh, he's off his rocker." And we can go home, and then we can live like the rest of the world lives. Or we can approach Sunday morning as a time where we actually gather on mission together, move forward together, where we actually grab the person next to us or our friend in the congregation and we say, "Listen, I'm going to be doing this week, and I need you to check in with me next week and say, hey, you prayed for that person. God gave you a name. Did you pray for them?" No, I didn't. We're gathering every day this week then over coffee, and we're going to pray for our people. "Oh, I don't know if I have the time." You have the time. Get up earlier. Go to bed later. I don't care. Like, we're going to do this together. Let's hold each other accountable, right? It's not about me being like, "Did you guys do your homework assignment?" You guys are the best allies that you have. And so hold one another accountable. Who are you praying for? Pray into that. Hold me accountable. Tell me. Ask me. Question it. What's happening? How are you stepping into that this week? I know that there's some people that may be here in this room or online, and you heard about the heart of God, and you're like, "What is that all about? God sacrificed for me? Pastor Stephen, you don't know the things that I've done, or you don't know. I don't feel like I need that. but there's something. I do want to know more. Well, I want to tell you that you're in the right place. Because we truly believe that anyone that looks at this world can see just how broken it is, just how messed up it is. Anyone that has had a friendship knows that the people have off days and things blow up all of a sudden and you're just like, that person that was perfect. They're not perfect. Oh my goodness. What's going on? Right? It's because of this brokenness from this thing that we call sin. When people act outside of God's design, we miss the mark on who we were created to be and we sin. But the great truth of what we call the gospel, the good news, is that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that he came to earth in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect and sinless life, suffered and was tempted as one of us, but he never succumbed, and willingly went to the cross to a punishment meant for seditionists and murderers. He willingly went to the cross, not a pretty one like this, one more like that, but taller. Willingly allowed himself to be brutally tortured and beaten and whipped and then nailed to that cross. And in the midst of it all, so was the heart of God that he looked at the people spitting on him and beating him and laughing at him, and his heart broke and he cried out to our Heavenly Father and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who does that? I'll tell you, God. The God who looked out over them and saw each of your faces. Who knew in advance every single thing that you have done and ever will do in this life. Who's seen all the possibilities and whose heart breaks for your lostness and for the brokenness of this world. But that same Jesus who died didn't stay dead. But 3 days later, God raised him from the grave. And in that resurrection, he proclaims his victory over sin, death, and Satan. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he invites us to not just find ourselves forgiven, but to find ourselves adopted into the very family of the Most High God, to become people who can now run into the throne room of grace saying, Abba, Father, embracing the King of Kings on his throne and saying, Daddy, this is what I need. I need you in this moment. I need you for my friends. Will you heal me? Will you help me? I submit to you. That's the call of God on your life, that you would step into this wholeness and this victory, that you would allow your life to be reordered by the one who gave it all so that you could have hope in a future. And so as they play a little bit of music softly, I'm just going to invite you today to all close your eyes with me. Bow your heads. I don't want anyone looking around for this. And today, if you're here and you're saying to yourself, I want to follow this Jesus. I need to make this change in my life. I'd like you, with no one looking around right now, for you just to slip your hand up so that I can be thinking about you. Thank you. Thank you. Online, you can go ahead and put in the comments there a message to the church that you want to follow Jesus. Just know he loves you. For those that raise their hands, those that put online that they want to follow Christ, those that didn't take that physical step, but in their hearts you're wanting to step into this new thing, I just want us all to pray a prayer together that is a confirmation with your lips of the decision that is happening in your heart right now. And so will you all pray after me? Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, that this world is broken, and so am I. But I thank you that you love me. that you gave it all for me and that you defeated it all for me. Today I choose to give you my life. Please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Transform me by your love. I commit today to give you the rest of my life. And I thank you that when I fall down, you don't reject me, but you help me back up. You dust me off, and you walk alongside me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer today, we want to give you a round of applause as we welcome you to the family of God. We have a card in the seat back in front of you. It says, connect with us. And on there, you'll see a checkbox that says, I've just given my life to Jesus. Be sure to check that off and bring it to me or Bobby, who's currently getting up to go into the back. We have a gift that we'd like to give you as well online. You can go to ascc.life and tap on, I've decided to follow Jesus, or I've given my life to Jesus, and fill that out. And we'll be sure to follow up with you as soon as we can and get some resources into your hands as well. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people that are being equipped to be witnesses in the places that you have placed them. God, you know the purpose that you have for every single one of us, and I ask that you would give us the courage and the boldness to fall to our knees in prayer for those whom you have put before us, and God, that we would see the fruit of the harvest. So Lord, help us to be your ministers in Pincher Creek, in Cowley, in Glenwood, in Hillspring, in Lunbrook, and Brockett, and the Pass, and all the other places that I can't remember if I've said or not, because you are good, and we want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everyone. You're dismissed. Hope to see you next week.